Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for making time in your schedule to share these next few minutes together. We've been sharing on a rather formidable subject last week and these few days on the subject of perfection. And while that's sort of staggering to our natural minds, we see throughout the Word of God, both in Deuteronomy and in Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 48, where there is a commandment, if you will, an imperative from the Lord, that we are to be perfect with the Lord. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes, to keep His commandments as this day. And then Jesus, of course, said in that fifth chapter, be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so we've been looking at, what does perfection mean? We've looked at some Old Testament examples, and as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the life of Jesus. And we know that under the law, no one was able to successfully and completely fulfill every statute of the law. They were, obviously, we all sin in this earthly body. Sin is an aspect of this earthly, fleshly realm, and yet we know that we have deliverance from sin. In fact, we have a command to cease from sinning, and we do that with a perfect heart. Our heart is that which is perfect. Our thoughts, our actions, many times we fail. We're guilty of sin, as John says. If any man says he's without sin, he's deceived, he's a liar. But thank God. And Paul wrestled with that same difficulty. You know, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And of course, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So there is a time when we are with the Lord in the eternity of eternities. There will be no more sin, and righteousness will rule throughout His kingdom, throughout the universe. But until that time, He is long-suffering and patient with us, and we, with all of our hearts, with all of our will, not half-heartedly, not insincerely, but we sincerely seek to do the will of God. Hebrews 9 and 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And in 1 Peter 2 and 22, Peter says, who did no sin, referencing Jesus, neither was guile found in his mouth. And 1 John 3 and 5 says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him was no sin. In him was no sin. And so Jesus' personality, his character, reflects the traits of the Godhead. He manifested in their fullness of operation the fruit of the Spirit. That's the character of Jesus. And what is that? Found in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And in Colossians 1 and 19, it says in the Word, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And also in Colossians 2:9, it says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so listen to the words of Jesus found in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And I'm not going to read or turn to it, but you know that phrase in Ephesians that says why fivefold ministry was given. I quote it so frequently. It was given for the perfecting of the saints, that they could enter into the work of the ministry until we all come unto the measure of a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ Jesus. And so This is our high calling, beloved. We look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, as the supreme example of what we can attain by the grace of God. He was fashioned as a man, tempted in all points as we, and yet he sinned not. You know, I'm just going to stop right here. I just sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There are some of you that really need God's touch right now. I know we're in a teaching mode, but I want to stop. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And Father, you see those now who are going through a really difficult time. Father, those who are suffering in their body, I rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I command healing, for by the stripes of Jesus, according to Peter, we were already healed. So Father, I thank you for the faith of God that sees that brought into fullness of manifestation in Jesus' name. And Lord, there are some that are being oppressed. It's been a rough day for some of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority of the residual effect of those trials and those battles they've gone through. Father, I bind that agitation. And Lord, there's anger in some, and some it was righteous anger. I mean, it was not a good thing that occurred. And so, Father, I pray right now for peace. I pray for forgiveness. I pray for the ability to just give this to you right now, beloved. Come on, just give it to the Lord. You can't fix it anyway. I mean, come on. Some loved ones, they can be so difficult. You just have to give them to the Lord. And Father, right now, the main thing is your walk, where your heart is at, how you are spiritually. The enemy will do everything he can to agitate, to torment you. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority right now over the demonic spirits of oppression and discouragement and agitation. And Father, I speak right now the peace of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to destroy every yoke of bondage, every yoke of unrest, every yoke of upset. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace, and I thank you for it. For the Lord would say, I am the Spirit of peace, and I am he that brings comfort to troubled hearts, to troubled minds. I spoke peace to the storm, the winds and the waves, and they ceased. And so I speak to your heart, beloved, be at peace. As you commit your cares to me, know that I care for you, and I am working and moving in those concerns that you've placed before me. I am patient and long-suffering, even as I was with you and am with you, beloved, so I must be with those you have placed upon my altar. So fear not and fret, and let the joy of the Lord be restored to your soul, for that is where your strength is, says God. I love you with an everlasting love. Fear not, fret not, for you shall see the fruit and the answers to your prayers. Continue to love me, to serve me with all of your heart, and praise me, for I have heard your prayers, I have received them, and I am moving, even though you cannot see it. Know, as you trust me, you shall see the fulfillment of your heart's desires, for those are my heart's desires as well, says God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I am always glad to interrupt any kind of teaching to allow the Lord to minister to you. That's the purpose of this broadcast. Amen. So, we're talking about perfection, are we not? And so, even though this is quite a formidable task, nonetheless, if you and I really want to be like Jesus, we have to look at the Word of God. We have to see what his actions were. We have to study his words that are given to us as they are recorded in the Bible. And if we would really be like Jesus, we have to look at how he lived his life on this earth. And at this point, I'd like to interject a thought for you to consider. Jesus spent a great deal of time in his private life as contrasted to his public ministry. Only the last 3 years of his life were spent in the public eye. And many say that we have no record of what Jesus did from about the age of 12 until 30 years of age. Some people say, oh, you know, he traveled to England. You know, it doesn't matter. The point is the Bible remains silent. But this is what we do know of what happened in that time. The Bible tells us very simply what Jesus was doing during his hidden years, if you will. Luke 2, verses 51 and 52 declare, and he went down with them. This was after the episode that he remained in Jerusalem and he was teaching the Pharisees, and his parents came to Nazareth. His parents came, they missed him, and so they went back to Jerusalem. And it says in Luke, that second chapter, he went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Obviously, Jesus was willing to wait upon his father. You know, in terms of our thoughts, we would say, well, you know, you're an adult of 21. Why aren't you just out there? Just think of how much more you could have done. Well, don't you suppose God had a perfect plan and he knew exactly what he was doing? So that for those of us who can tend to be time conscious and, you know, I'm getting older, Lord, you've got to do it now. I've got to see it happen. Just, you know, rest and trust in God. Jesus was willing to wait until the appointed time. And the book of Proverbs, as well as Ephesians, it tells us to seek after wisdom. James says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. You know, there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is something the world can even have a lot of just by studying and academics and learning. But as Christians, we need to pray for wisdom. You know, the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. And those that are unsaved, I mean, they may have some interesting comments, but they can't have true wisdom, because true wisdom is only found in the Lord. Is that right? Paul says that he speaks wisdom among them that are perfect. Ah, he's talking to us, beloved, yay, not the wisdom of this world or of the princes of this world, demonic hosts, but the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Praise God. What the Lord is after, what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, is to bring you into a relationship with Jesus you have never known before. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself, for the body of Christ, that we can know Jesus as never before, and in so doing, become like him. Praise God. I love you. Pray for you every day, my radio family. Some of you listen faithfully. You've never written. But if the Lord's moving on your heart, I do encourage you to do so. The mailing list, the small mailing list I have, I send out letters of encouragement. And I just invite you to become a part of that. A brother writing from Puyallup, Washington says, thank you for your encouragement over many years. I covet your prayers and have been so thankful to the Lord for his gracious deliverance. So the announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. Look forward to being with you tomorrow. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577 Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.